First reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29, page 1145 in your Bibles. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May we pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and may the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I'm going to ponder the gospel passage, part of it anyway, the first part. And something for you to think about is, what does Christmas really mean to you? And what I mean by that is, at its deepest, what is your most profound thought that you have about Christmas? And have you discovered anything that is truly amazing in regard to Christmas and that's unique, if you like, about Christmas, and that has power to help each one of us in our day-to-day lives? I'd like to share with you a reflection from Bono, the well-known member of the U2 band, regarding the meaning of Christmas. he says, it's a kind of tradition for him to go to St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin. "I was given a really bad seat one particular Christmas, behind a huge pillar. I couldn't see anything. I was sitting there having come back from Tokyo, and I was also there because I love choral singing. Community arts are a speciality." but I was falling asleep, being up for a few days travelling, and because it was a bit boring, I just started nodding off. I couldn't see a thing. And then I started to try and keep myself awake, studying what was on the page in front of me. And it dawned on me for the first time. It had dawned on me before, but it really sank in. The idea that God is there as a force of love in the universe. The idea that this God would seek to explain himself, and that is an amazing thought, but he would seek to explain himself and describe himself by becoming a child born in straw, poverty, in dung, a child, I just thought, wow, unknowable love, unknowable power, becoming the most vulnerable thing possible. There it was. I was sitting there, and it had struck me before, but not like this. And tears came down my face, and I saw the genius of this, the utter genius of picking a particular point of time, and in essence, this God manifested himself because love has to become an action or something concrete. It would just have to happen. Now, I hope you could follow what I've just read to you, okay? I'm not convinced I've read it brilliantly, but what he's coming round to at the end is, if a God of love exists, in order to show us and help us in our lives, there must be an incarnation. Love must be made flesh for God to show us and help us. Show us who he is and help us in our lives. And that truth is right at the heart of Christmas. It's right at the heart of Christianity, the incarnation. So, in our gospel reading this morning, we find the earthly king of the time, Herod, king of Israel, seeking to destroy the prophesied king from God. And this story is the dark side of the first Christmas. In our world, there is always a mix of good and bad. God's plans are often opposed by men who are not in relationship with him. And here we read of the resulting massacre of little boys in Bethlehem, and it's known as the killing of the innocents. Now, this story has been questioned, as it's not in any historical document, so it's been questioned as, did it really happen? Well, this story rings true because King Herod was a man of ruthless cruelty, and he had fanatical neurosis about any competition. He executed more than half of the Sanhedrin. He killed more than 300 of his court officers. He executed his wife and her mother and three of his sons. And he arranged for the notable men of Jerusalem to be killed at the moment of his own death. That actually didn't happen, which is a wonderful thing that it didn't happen. So this man, quite in character, to have killed the baby boys of who lived in Bethlehem. When did this happen? When did this happen? Because this is after the wise men's visit, and now they had gone on a different route back. Well, it was not long after the birth of Jesus, but the indications is it was a little while later. And Mary and Joseph were still living in Bethlehem, but they, no doubt they would have moved out of the animal dwelling that the story, Christmas story, starts in. But probably not much later. We also know that King Herod died in 4 BC, so our dating of 2025 is not correct. It was possibly 6 years earlier or 7 years earlier. And Herod had been appointed by the Roman Senate in 40 BC, and he was 33 years old when that happened, and so he would now be in his late 60s. So into this terrible event that happened sometime around the time of Christmas, God warns the wise men to return by a different route, and Joseph and Mary are warned to take the baby Jesus to Egypt. So coming back to us and modern day Christmas. Christmas means something different to everyone, and the older you get, the more memories you will have of Christmas. Hopefully many good memories, but also some that will be not so good. And bad things happen at Christmas just as much as any other time of the year. Possibly more bad things can happen. I'm told that more people decide to get divorced at Christmas than any other time. So I'm told, statistically. But there's a verse in Psalm 30, verse 5, for those who have bad experiences at Christmas. And this verse says, "Weeping may last all night, but joy comes in the morning." And God's plans are never thwarted. Bad things happen, but God can even work through the bad things that are happening. But for us, it can be tough. And it can be very tough for a long time in life. My base church these days is Ashburnham. And at every Sunday main service, we have a sharing time when people are able to stand up and ask the congregation if there's something they would like them to pray for their lives. They might just want to share a bit of good news. But it's a sharing time. And this last month, a lady called Sue, who's part of the church there, stood up and she, I'm not going to tell the long story, I'll tell a very shortened version, but she has encountered a German lady who's had bad nights. She's an elderly lady, she's had bad nights ever since the Second World War due to the bombing that happened in her home country where she lived at the time. And this lady, Sue, offered to pray for her. And this lady has now had peaceful nights for the first time in her life since she prayed for her. Now, I know it would probably be only for a few weeks, and hopefully this will continue, but Jesus and God and his plans will not be thwarted. And although bad things happen and the result of bad things can go on for years, there will be joy at the end for those who draw close to Jesus. God is still working out his purposes even in the midst of the terrible things that happen on earth. So Christmas and its good traditions offer us hope in these situations. It's not saying, well, we can escape all these situations. It's actually, with God's help, we can get through these situations. And in the end, it might take a while, God will deliver us from these situations. There's a lady called Judith Flanders, and she's written a book called Christmas, A History. And she studied Christmas through the ages and various traditions, not just in our country but around the world, that people have had celebrating Christmas. I don't think she's a Christian. But having studied Christmas in depth, she says, the rituals of Christmas show us to believe, if only for one day a year, that a world exists where we're loved, protected, and cherished. Now, the sad thing is, these traditions are there to help us realise something much, much deeper. that actually we are loved and protected and we're cherished every day of the year as we draw close to Jesus. We will be anyway. That's what Christmas is trying to get us to do. In his life on earth, Jesus helped people wherever he went. And he still does this as people draw close to him. And he is now available in heaven to all of us at all times. And this is obviously especially as a result of his death on the cross, where he carried away the sins of the world, so that those who put their trust in him are saved from the power of evil. So joy will definitely come in the morning, whenever the morning is. And also, because of his death on the cross, we are made ready for eternity with God. The moment that we pass from this life, we will be in paradise, just like the thief who was on the cross next to Jesus. So we need to make sure that we keep responding to Jesus, who is a humble saviour, but is also the King of Kings. He is able to give us his great love, give us his care and protection, not just for Christmas, but for every day of the year, as long as we shall live on earth. So I'm going to invite you to say a prayer with me. It's a prayer based on the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, based on one verse from that carol. So you might like to echo these words from the carol in your heart as I say this prayer. And it's a prayer to help you put your trust in this Jesus. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time. By receiving Jesus' help afresh in life, as you do this, let me say this first as a prayer. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. I hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to me, abide with me, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. And he will do just as you've asked. Amen.